Good morning, everybody. This is Lenny Lawson, the car guru. I'm glad you accidentally landed on this radio station at this particular point in time. I am lamenting just a little bit here about the chip shortage. I thought that it would be over by now. If you'd asked me last year this time when a lot of this nonsense started that we would still be in the midst of it and very short on product, I would have said, nah, I figured they would have figured things out by now, but they have not. Matter of fact, it is probably at its worst point right now. Ford Motor Company has canceled so much production and shut down so many plants that it is just ridiculous. I mean, my allocations for May are the lowest I've ever seen. And it's not just me. It's every Ford dealer is suffering the same malady. So we are attacking the used car market with great energy, meaning that going to auctions and paying up for vehicles, which just, you know, raises the prices what everybody has to pay on a retail level. I mean, if I'm paying $5,000 and $6,000 over what a vehicle originally sold for new or listed for new, then what does that mean for the buyer? That means they're going to pay even more than that because dealers have to make a profit, you know, and that's just the market. You know, fruit goes up beyond what you paid for fruit last year at the fruit stand, then you have one or two choices. Don't buy any fruit or pay more for it. So I'm buying the fruit, and hopefully my customers will buy the fruit from me. Ford has decided to go an interesting direction. I mentioned this the other day. Ford is dividing in itself or themselves into two divisions. Ford Blue, which is the original Ford selling internal combustion engines, and Ford E, which is basically, or Ford EV, I should say, which is Ford's electric vehicle division. So they're going to, they scared all the dealers, made us all nervous, saying, okay, what does that mean? We're going to either have to pick one or the other. Well, they solved that or answered that question at this week's NADA convention. They met with dealers. I was not there. I wasn't in the mood to go to Las Vegas again. So I'm just waiting on the news to flow through my email feed. But basically, there was a packed room of Ford and Lincoln dealers, and they listened to the executives outline their plans for creating two separate business units, one for electric vehicles and the other for ICE engines, internal combustion engines. The dealers interviewed afterwards, including those who were not initially all in with the reorganization plans, said they really liked what they heard. So my dealer buddies, people that I know and don't know, have heard what Ford's plans are, and they're not going to eliminate dealers. They're going to use dealers to improve the customer experience. And that's good news, I think, for dealers, for the communities where those dealers operate, and for consumers as well. You know, there are a lot of folks, especially the Tesla crowd, they like this remote delivery, you know, not having to deal with people like me and salespeople and so forth. And I think that is justifiable in certain ways. I mean, if you've had a really bad experience at a car dealership, then, you know, you're going to have that negative bias. There is that bias exists towards us and divorce lawyers. But or lawyers in general. So where I think this is going is basically the internet buying experience that you can get from anybody like Tesla or Carvana or any of those internet new or used car sites. You're going to be able to get that same thing through a dealership. You'll be able to have the vehicle delivered to your house and never interact with dealership personnel. Or if you want to come in and drive a vehicle and go through the traditional buying experience, you'll be able to. And I think giving that dual experience is a valuable thing to a lot of people. I'm not going to buy a car unless I can drive it or have it inspected. That's just me. I've been burned too many times. So, you know, it's going to be a good thing, I think, for Ford dealers. And I was just looking at some of the more plant closures. Jeep Cherokee and Ford medium-duty trucks are all closed up right now. They can't build them because of chips. There have been Toyota, let's see, they said on Tuesday it's going to make additional cuts in March production. So really, it's just a major crunch time right now as far as computer chips, and who knows why, because nobody's talking. We have no idea. So, you know, if you've got something ordered right now and you were hoping that it was going to come in soon, you may be in for a rude surprise. We found out this past week that Ford is going to start shipping Ford Explorers without chips that operate the rear air conditioning, and then so that we have Explorers to sell. I can't tell you the last time we had a Ford Explorer in stock. And normally we'll keep anywhere from 5 to 10 Ford Explorers in stock. It's been a pretty good seller for us, and right now we have zero, but we've got probably 15 ordered. And if any of those had rear air, they're going to come in and the rear air is not going to work. Now, how are they going to solve that? Well, when the chips become available, they're going to send them to us. You know, I think that's a great idea. It allows us to have something to sell, and we can explain that to the customers. And you know, we are going into summer, and I realize that could be somewhat of an issue. But some people are willing to just crank the air up, I guess, a few notches in the front of the car, so that the people in the back of the car don't suffocate. And maybe we can still sell some Explorers. So I'm curious, what would you be willing to give up as far as technology or, you know, even the basics in order to be able to get your car that you have ordered? If they came to you and they said, okay, we're going to have to, you can't have air conditioning. Well, that's a deal killer. What about a sunroof? Could you live without a sunroof? I could. I've got a sunroof in my F-150. Never open it. But some people just live with their sunroofs open. Makes my head hot. I'm trying to think, what about, you know, I could live without the dynamic adaptive cruise control. If I just had regular cruise control, that'd be fine. I mean, I like the adaptive cruise control where it, you know, you can maintain your speed, and if cars pull out in front of you, the car automatically slows down. That's pretty cool. But I could live without it. I want power windows and locks. I'm not ready to go back to crank windows yet. Are you? Me neither. Power seats, got to have them. Some of this infotainment stuff I could live without. I'm kind of addicted to satellite radio, so I don't want to give that up. Apple CarPlay, like it. Listen to a lot of podcasts. You know, it's funny that when you have an option like that becomes available, you never had it before, like Apple CarPlay, and now you've got it. You get used to it. Well, you know, next time you buy, you've just got to have it. You can't do without that if you're like me. But as far as other features like heated rear seats and things like that, you know, some of the air-conditioned seats, I never use that either. Maybe I just have ice-cold buns. Now, can you say that on the radio? Well, I guess I just did, didn't I? Well, I just better take a break and wash my mouth out with soap. I'll be back here in just a minute. My mom threatened me one time to wash my mouth out with soap. That didn't sound like an appealing thing. I didn't even like it when I accidentally got soap in my mouth, so I certainly didn't want a bar of Dial soap crammed in my mouth. So that was one of those threats that never had to be realized. Thank goodness. Been watching Bring a Trailer's got so many interesting things and trends going on the auction world. You know, I went to a live auction, the Gooding auction at Amelia Island, and bought two cars. One of them I shouldn't have bought, and matter of fact, they're going to be taking it back because they did not disclose that it did not have airbags in it. And so I had a serious problem with that. So I think we're going to be able to get things worked out. Do you remember a really expensive car that Acura was selling? Really, Honda, you know, Acura is the luxury division of Honda. And for many years, Acura has sold a vehicle called the NSX. And it's a sports car, and it was a very expensive sports car. You know, when a Honda Accord was selling for, you know, $18,000, an NSX was like $80,000. So it was definitely exclusive territory. Well, now those things have really gotten hot. I'm looking at a 1991 Acura NSX that should be selling this afternoon. It's got 35 minutes left, and it's at $72,500. Imagine buying a car in 91 and selling it for more. than it sold for new. It's a very common experience, especially when it comes to Porsches. There's a 1966 Bronco that's getting ready to sell in about 50 minutes. It actually looks just like mine. The color on mine is called Reef Aqua, which is a very kind of a green, well, looks like the Caribbean, the color of the water. It's beautiful. And this one is about the same color. It's called Caribbean Turquoise. I think they just renamed it. This is a 66. Now, folks, just to give you an example how these things have gone up, 8 years ago, I paid $17,500 for my Bronco. It had 35,000 actual miles on it. And it's such a low price. This one is, the current bid is $70,000. I think it's probably going to get up in the 80s. I'll be surprised if it doesn't. Another thing that's really hot right now are vintage Honda motorcycles, especially small displacement motorcycles like the CT70. That's a little banana seat kind of a motorcycle with fold-down handlebars. It's a stamped frame. It doesn't have a traditional frame, little 70cc engine. My dad bought, I think I mentioned on here, he bought two of those, one for my brother and one for me. I think he paid $325, $350 for them. They're swapping hands at about $6,000 now. Just a year ago, they were around $4,500. This one is already at that's a different size motorcycle. Where is that CT70? It's down here. Oh, here it is. Well, this one's at, it's got an hour and 50 minutes to go, and it's at $5,100. So I'm sure it's going to get up in the mid-sixes. What else is really selling? I'll tell you another thing that pops up. You don't see them a lot, but you're seeing them more and more, are trucks from the 70s. Here's a 1973 Ford F-250 Ranger XLT. The 73 Chevrolet trucks are selling. If you've got one stored away in your garage, 73 to 87, they call them the square body trucks. Those are really going up in value. Now, again, the short beds are going to bring the most money, and the more trim they have on them, the better. Like, for example, if it's a Scottsdale or a Silverado, if it has, an automatic or a manual transmission, not a three on the tree, but like a four-speed in the floor, a V8 engine, those are the ones that are going to bring the most money. But sometimes the long beds will bring money if they're a big block, like if they were used for trailering. Since this is an F-250, it has a big 460 V8 and a three-speed automatic. And, I don't know how it's going to do. It's got an hour and 17 minutes left, and it's up to 10.5. My guess would be probably close to $20,000. So, it makes that truck that, 5 years ago, you're talking about a $5,000 to $6,000 truck, and now it's probably going to hit $20,000. So that's pretty impressive. Did you ever know anybody that owned an MG? Remember from when I was growing up, probably in the late 60s, and through the 70s, MG made a car called the MGB. And a lot of my friends had them. You saw a lot of middle-aged people at that time, that would drive these little sports cars. They were reliable as long as you had a mechanic living in the house with you. And then you were in good shape. They always say that about British cars. Biggest problem with British cars was rust and wiring. They had a hard time with both of those issues. What else is being sold? Corvettes are really appearing a lot, especially the C8, the latest version of the Vette, like the one I just recently bought. The Corvette, since they went to mid-engine, has completely rocked the world. And you take a combination of a totally new body style and a chip shortage and the inability of Chevrolet to keep up with demand, and prices are going up. Some dealers are selling C8 Corvettes, new ones, for up to $30,000 over window sticker. And it's because people are willing to pay that. Now, Corvette is coming out in 2023, if they can get the chips, with a Z06 version of that car, which what that means is wider body panels, basically, is it's had a wider stance. The fenders are flared a little bit. More air intakes. It just looks more aggressive. And a big change in the engine. Chevrolet uses a 6.2 liter pushrod V8 engine in the current Corvette. This new one is going to be a flat plane crank, which just means, I'm not going to get into all that means, but it just makes it sound just wicked, with 670 horsepower. My car has 500 horsepower, which is plenty, but I guess it's not enough for the hot rod crowd. Here's a 28-year-owned 69 Chevrolet Corvette. You know, Chevrolet changed the body style on the Corvette in 68. The 67 was the last year of the Stingray body style. That was the C2 classification or generation. It came out first in 1963 with what they called, well, they had convertibles too, but the coupe was called a split window Corvette, and those are worth the most money as just for if it has a regular engine. Now, if you look at a 67, like a 427, 430 horse, my brother had one of those about 20 years ago, and he ended up selling it for about $30,000. That car today is $150,000. And you're seeing a lot of those posted on Bring a Trailer right now. Here's a Volkswagen Thing. You remember those? 1973. Vehicle probably sold for in the $2,500 to $3,000 range. It was just, it looked a lot like what the Nazis drove in World War II. Very plain, simple, slab sides, very boxy. This one is, with 2 hours to go, is already at $22,105. That's just the way things are headed right now. Oh, look here. 55 Chevrolet Bel Air two-door. Two-door hardtop. You remember the difference between a hardtop and a sedan or a coupe? Well, this one, the hardtop didn't have a B-pillar. So, you know, the A-pillar is that post that comes down. It connects the roof to the body just at the front edge of the door, and the windshield runs into it. So that's the A-pillar. The next vertical piece is called the B-pillar. That's at the back of the driver's side door and goes up to the roof. So it's a kind of the middle support for the roof, and then you go back one notch more, and you're at the C-pillar. So are you understanding the map I'm trying to visually create for you? Well, this 55 Chevrolet is a hard top, so that means it does not have a B-pillar. It's missing. It makes them look sportier. The other way would be a two-door sedan or a two-door coupe or coupe if you happen to be from England. So, you know, the 55, 56, 57 Chevy were all very popular. You see a lot of them in the South and different places. I mean, that was the collector car of the 80s and 90s and 2000s. And then, you know, the baby boomers started getting older. And the people who really appreciated those cars for what they were and what they are, you know, kind of getting out of the car collecting game. And they're not as interested anymore. But these cars are still going to, you know, that'll swing back at some point. But the baby boomers, the Generation X, and the millennials and stuff aren't as interested in those. They're interested in stuff that when they were young, when they were driving down a road and they saw it, it got their attention. Like 300 Datsun 300Zs, Toyota Supras, even Subaru WRXs, things like that are what turns that crowd on. They don't really care about a 283 V8 in a 55 or 57 Chevy. The tail fins, they probably think they're goofy. But I tell you what, everybody right now is into Porsches. And here's a 1990 Porsche 911 Carrera, two-door coupe. This car, I'm thinking 5 years ago. This is a $25,000, $30,000 car. This one has 2 hours and 30 minutes to go, and it's up to $101,964. So if you've got one of those tucked away, that's quite an investment, something that is worth a lot of money. Well, we'll take our last break and be back here in just a minute. You know, one of the things I really love about Bring a Trailer, and I've hooked a lot of people onto this website, one is I've been able to do really well selling cars on it, but it's just the diversity of what you see. Like right here is a 1979 motorcycle, a 1983 Jeep right beside a 1983 Jeep Scrambler. Remember those? That was the Jeep, like a CJ5, except it had a truck bed on it. They've come back out with that now and call it the Gladiator. Here's a Porsche. Here's a BMW. Here is a 1992 Titan fire truck, of all things. Beside a Mercedes, beside a 1939 Rolls-Royce or a 1965 Morris Mini. This is the diversity that I love. And you know, you've got all these different things. So how do you tell what something's worth? Well, you look and see what people are actually paying for it, not what they're advertised for, but what are people paying for cars? And when I'm doing research for somebody, I'm looking at Hagerty, which is kind of a consolidator of information and gives you trend lines and what recent sales or recent results of sales are. But Bring a Trailer, you can dig in and you can actually go to the results section of Bring a Trailer, type in the type of vehicle that you're interested in, and it will tell you what cars actually brought at auction. And you have to look at the time frame. You have to look at how the you have to drill down into it. And the thing is, they don't just fall off the face of the earth. They retain those complete listings so that you can read all the comments. You can actually find out the details on the car. You can see detailed pictures. And so you can actually compare the condition of your car or a car that you're interested in to something that is recently sold. And it gives you a good idea what you should pay. Now, understand that the market is really hot right now, and these things are not going to stay where they are. I mean, some of them will continue to go up. Some of them will start to go down. I've got to wonder when the Porsche trend is going to end, because it has gone like a moon rocket. And so we'll just have to wait and see. Same thing with Broncos. There's got to be some kind of end to this. But it's like those big waves when I actually could surf, not very well. You ride it as long as it's going. And you just got to kind of keep your eyes out on the road ahead, because sometimes it'll stop quicker than you're prepared for. So anyway, if I can help you with any of these kind of decisions about buying, selling, trading, servicing cars, don't hesitate to give me a call, 423-552-2020. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.